Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning on the 18th of December. As you can clearly see, I am not the Reverend Michael Davidson, nor have I any aspiration to become the Minister of Railway Street, but unfortunately our Minister has gone down with a severe case of man flu. So at least that's what his children have told me. So he presented slightly more seriously than that. So unfortunately you have me this morning, and you'll have me again this evening for the epilogue. But we've come this morning to worship God, and if Michael and Linda are watching, we wish you a speedy recovery from whatever you have managed to go down with. I know there's a lot of bugs and things doing the rounds at the moment, so hopefully the cold snap will manage to have got rid of some of those. If you had come expecting a sermon on Micah and Bethlehem this morning, you'll be slightly disappointed. That's not what the sermon will be on. So if you have an order of service, you can ignore all of the all of what's on it, apart from this evening 6:30 carols by candlelight, followed by tea, coffee and mince pies in the link. So if you're a member of Kirk Session and you have brought your mince pies and not delivered them yet, if you could leave them in the minor hall kitchen, that would be great. Announcements are, after the morning service, there's tea, coffee, juice, biscuits for everybody through there. I've seen people preparing that this morning, and it looks as good as always. And thanks to those who do that, it is very much appreciated. And there is a rehearsal at 5:15. No, straight after morning service, so whatever time the morning service finishes. Your guess at the moment is as good as mine. Then there'll be a rehearsal here for the singers, is that right? Yep. And if any of the folk who are reading want to have a practice, if you could see me at the end of the service, that would be great. And then meet this evening as directed. We look forward to this evening's service of lessons and carols. It's always a great occasion. God willing, our next service will be our family service at 10:30 on Christmas Day morning. And then you'll see that Michael will be on holiday from Christmas Day to the 2nd of January. So if you need the services of the minister during that time, if you could contact me, and I will do the best I can to help you out. And then just as an official notice that I have to give, the voters list for the election of the Congregational Committee are now available. There's one in the vestibule and one in the link. Voting members of the congregation who are communicants are listed by name or by number as having contributed to the stipend or free will offering of our congregation in the last financial year. We'll find your name on that list. Should any member of the congregation who claims to be a voting member who meets the criteria desire to make an objection regarding any name on the list or omit it from the list, you need to lodge your objection with your reasons in writing with the minister by the 25th of December. So if you're planning on sending him a Christmas card and want to add an objection in, now's your opportunity. Well, we've come this morning to worship God. And so many years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that's how we've come this morning, to meet the God who is with us in worship here in his house. And we're going to do that as we stand, if we're able, to sing, "Angels we have heard on high, and for unto us a son is born." The order of singing this morning was devised by Les Dawson, that the hymns are all there. They're not necessarily going to be sung in the order that I've written them down. Thanks very much to the band. We'll see what one comes before the sermon. But let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this your day we can come into your house and worship you. We thank you that in the midst of the busyness of the Christmas season, we can come and be still and know that you are God. We come to thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you are Lord of all, that you are King of kings, the one who always was, who is, and who always will be. And yet you care for each one of your children individually. You know us each by name. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. And yet, despite all of that, you still love us. You came in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus, at that first Christmas to deal with our sin, to open that new and that living way that those who put their trust in you will one day, when we leave this world, come to see your face in your nearer presence in heaven. So we come and we thank you and we bless you and we worship you for that this morning. We confess that we've not always said or thought or done those things that we should. We confess too our sins of omission, things that we haven't said or thought or done which should have been, done, said and thought we should not. We ask that you would come and would forgive us as we confess our sin, not because we are worthy, but because of your mercy. And we thank you that in your mercy you do indeed forgive our sin. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you help us by your Spirit day to day to live for you, to shine your light into a dark world, that others may see the Saviour in us and be drawn to him. So we come and we thank you and we bless you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your presence with us. Bless us as we gather for worship today, that when we go from this place, we would know that each one of us has had an encounter with the living God, for it is indeed in your name we ask it. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and we'll read together verses 18 to 25 of the first chapter. So that's the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning to read at verse 18 of chapter 1. Let us hear God's word together. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. We pray that God himself will bless this reading from his word. Now, for the young folk who are here, I know that there are a great many of you who like Lego. And believe it or not, when I was young, Lego was around at that stage. And it's great. There's all sorts of things you can build with Lego. And Lego has moved on a lot since I was young. And I'm hoping that the folk at the back have something to play for us for our children's talk, which is the Christmas story according to Lego. The rest of us will come now and we'll bring our prayers of intercession. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and we can bring our prayers for others to you. We thank you that you're a God who loves to hear and who loves to answer our prayers. Before we come to offer our prayers this morning, we want to come to say thank you. To say thank you for those prayers that we've offered as individuals and as a church fellowship, that you have heard and that you have answered. We come to thank you and to bless you for your goodness to us. We thank you that through all the challenges that we experience in life, that you are with us, that you're here to help us, as we put our trust in you and walk with you, that we will know your strength day by day. We pray that, our Heavenly Father, this morning for our brothers and sisters in the suffering church. We recognize that in our country where we can enjoy so much freedom in the run-up to the Christmas season, we recognize that for others who know and who love you, that is not the case. We pray that you would place your protecting hand upon your children across the suffering church. We ask that even this morning each one would know that sense of your presence with them, that those, whether they be in hiding or in prison, those who are scared because they've put their trust in you, would know that others who know you and love you in this world are remembering them in our prayers. Especially today, Lord Jesus, we pray for Christians in the countries of Qatar, of Iran, and of Afghanistan. We thank you for their courage. We thank you for their faithfulness. We pray your continued hand of blessing upon them, that as the authorities in those countries seek to stamp out the truth of the gospel, we thank you that your light does not go out. That light that we saw at the first Christmas shining in the darkness, the darkness couldn't understand it, nor could it stop it. We pray that would be their experience and the experience of others in their position today. We remember in our own country, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our Christian politicians. We pray that you would grant them wisdom, that you would grant them grace, grant them insight into the many challenges that our country faces. We pray for our Prime Minister and for members of the government. We pray for members of Parliament and members of the House of Lords at Westminster, for members of the Assembly here and our local councillors, asking that each in their sphere would know what it is to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, to know his guiding and his directing. We recognise that our society faces considerable problems, many difficulties and many challenges. We recognise that the answers to these will not be quick and simple and easy. But we thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. And that we ask, Lord Jesus, for all in authority in our country, that each would know that directing hand of yours, that those of us in work would receive a fair wage for the work that we do, for those who need the help of the benefit system, that they would get what they need, what they needed, to alleviate their difficulty at the very point of their need. And that we pray that ours would be a country that is built upon Christian values, values that stand the test of time, but not only that, but also of eternity. Today, too, we pray for our King and for the members of the royal family. We recognise that these days are not easy for them. We pray that your hand would rest upon them, but grant that they would know that touch of yours. They would know that guiding hand of yours, that as our King prepares his first Christmas broadcast, that you would guide him. We thank you for the legacy that our late Queen left us. We pray that you would be with them, would help our royal family, that they would know that touch of yours. And too, as we think of families, we think of our own church family. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person connected with our church family here in Railway Street, from the youngest to the oldest. We pray your blessing would rest upon us. We think of those who are ill, whether they be in hospital or hospice or nursing home, those who care for them, that you would grant them your help, that at this Christmas season they would know that peace of yours that passes all understanding. That too we ask for those who have been bereaved, that each one would know that comfort that only you can provide, that as we approach a season that is so much geared towards family, that those who have lost ones dear to them, whether recently or in years past, would know that comfort that only you can bring. But for all of us, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our God, that you have placed us here to serve you. We pray that you would help us to do that, to your honour and to your glory. For your name's sake, we ask it. Amen. I'm hoping that the band are going to come and sing, "Are We Having Angels We Have Heard on High?" We are having angels we have heard on high. Good. We're now on the same script and have synced. So if you're able to stand and sing "Angels We Have Heard on High." Now, I suspect that at this time of the year, we all have surprises. Some of those are pleasant surprises, when you open that present that you had longed for, or you open that present that you know that your children or grandchildren will be kept amused with for hours, days, possibly months. But some of those other surprises are not just quite as pleasant as you might think. That was a bit like my morning this morning, when having turned my phone on to discover I would be taking the service this morning. But You know, there are worse things could happen. Someone could have knitted me a pullover with an arm that, you know, goes like this or like that. But we've all been there with those elderly relatives whose capacity for knitting wasn't necessarily as good as they thought it was. My concern this morning is I normally work to a script with a counted number of words. And this morning's is, first of all, I've discovered that my handwriting has got worse over the last number of years. So if I can't read some of this, and it sounds as if it's we're reciting Greek or Hebrew, you'll understand. And secondly, I don't actually know how long this sermon's going to last for. But I am reliably informed that the World Cup final kicks off at 3 o'clock, so we will definitely be finished in time for that. I've also realised that I've forgotten to mention, and should have done, that we're hoping to meet for Prayer Focus tomorrow evening between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the upper room. So if you're free and able to come, you will be most welcome for that. But we all face surprises. We all have things that come into our lives that we're not necessarily expecting. And that's the case with the gentleman that we're going to think about this morning, and that's Joseph. So many people have played their part in the Christmas story, but Joseph is not one that we often give a great deal of thought to. And when we boil it down, there's not an awful lot that we really know about this gentleman. We know he was a carpenter. We know he eventually got married to a lady called Mary. We know he lived in Nazareth. We know he was visited by an angel. And in all likelihood, we reckon that he owned a donkey. But beyond that, we really don't know a great deal about the person himself. Now, unless you happen to be married to somebody called Mary or happen to be a part-time carpenter, your lives and mine will be very, very different to those of Joseph. But yet, despite that, there are things I believe that we can learn from Joseph and his part in the Christmas story. And part of that comes in the passage that we read this morning, but also the passage, part of the passage that comes before, where we see the genealogy of Joseph. And here, St. Matthew, as he's writing to a Jewish, primarily a Jewish audience, is emphasizing that Joseph and the line of Jesus comes from a kingly heritage. Joseph himself was a carpenter, an ordinary human being like you and me, no great pretensions to grandeur, but yet was part of the extended royal family. And you can see that if you watch programmes like Who Do You Think You Are, as people trace back their genealogy, some of them will discover that they are descended from the great and the good, even from royalty, in days past. But yet their lives today are so very different from those of some of their ancestors. But Joseph was an ordinary person working at an ordinary job in a backwater of the Roman Empire. And suddenly, his world is turned upside down. And we're going to think about that in terms of three things just briefly this morning. First of all, a definite event, and then a divine intervention, and finally, a decision taken. So let's think, first of all, about this definite event. And at the beginning of our reading this morning, we see these words. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ happened. No speculation as to whether it might have or could have, or maybe did. Here's a definitive from the inspired word of God that tells us, this is how the birth of the Lord Jesus happened. At a point in history, and no matter how those in a modern era seek to try to rewrite the letters BC and AD, they're still counting our time from this most central of events in the history of humanity, the birth of the Lord Jesus. So whether you want to speak of before Christ and Anno Domini, or BCE, which as far as I'm concerned is before the Christian era, and CE, the Christian era, you maybe not see that in Wikipedia. The point is we are still counting from that very same point, from that very same event. There's no ambiguity here. This is what happened. And because this happened, the rest of the story flows on. Set out the facts for us. As St. Matthew is writing this, he's making it quite clear to the people who are reading, this is what actually happened. Joseph and Mary had become engaged. They were a happy, normal couple. They were doing the sort of things I suspect that most engaged people do, planning for their wedding. Or in the case of many of us, the lady is planning for the wedding and the man is doing exactly what he is told. And by the way, if that's the way it worked for you, it worked for me and it's worked very well since. But that's what folk do. It's a plan, it's something to look forward to. A happy life together. A union of two people who are in love. And this is what we have here. But suddenly, that happy and contented and perfectly normal pattern of life is dramatically disrupted when Mary discovers that she's pregnant. And how exactly did this happen? Well, we're told the answer in Scripture. It's by supernatural means. God, by his Holy Spirit, had come and created a life inside Mary, and that life was to be the Lord Jesus. But Mary was with child, and you can imagine if that had happened in your circumstances, had happened in mine, what the reaction would be. Joseph was scared out of his wits. What was he going to do? It impacted on Mary's reputation, Mary whom he loved and cared for and wanted to spend the rest of his life with. What was Mary thinking? What was Mary feeling? How had this happened? She had no idea what had come along. And yet, in the reality of their circumstances, this is exactly what had happened. God had intervened in a way that was unexpected, unanticipated, and they really were not entirely sure what to do. But Scripture tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a man who knew the difference between right and wrong. A man who sought to do what was right and what was good in the sight of the God that he worshipped. And he looked around and he thought, well, what is the right thing to do in these circumstances? He could follow a legalistic pathway, which could very well have led to Mary being executed as an adulteress in the society of the time. But Joseph wasn't prepared to follow that road. He could arrange quietly to break off the engagement. His engagement in these days of early New Testament times was almost as solid as a marriage, and to break that was almost as serious as a divorce. But Joseph was determined to do what was right and what was good. But he wasn't sure what that was. He wasn't entirely sure what that would look like. And you know, the same thing can happen to you and can happen to me. Things can come into our lives and into our circumstances that very simply knock us sideways. Things that we didn't anticipate, things that we did not expect, and we simply have no clue how to respond to them. You think of some of the experiences that you have had in life as I think of some of the ones that I have had. We have absolutely no idea how to respond to what happens. Something that comes as that bolt from the blue. How do we react? What would you and I do? Would we have been any different to Joseph, trying with what he knew and the resources at his disposal to try to find a solution, to find a way to deal with that problem? But you know, as Joseph is sitting, thinking about his problem, thinking of what he's going to do, trying to formulate a plan in his mind, as so often we do, as we try to find our own solutions to the difficulties and the problems that we face, God comes and God comes and breaks in, as we'll see in a moment, into our situation and into our circumstances. But you know, human nature is nothing new. As we saw when we were reading in Ecclesiastes, there's really nothing new under the sun. And all of us can react and respond to circumstances in a very similar way. And so many years later, the disciples would respond to the events of the first Easter by going back to what they thought they knew best, and that was going back to fish. And they spent a whole night fishing and didn't catch a thing. But yet when Jesus came, told them to fish on the other side of the boat, they had the courage to do that. And sometimes that's what you and I are called to do, to do something different, to do something that we hadn't anticipated before. And so we find that as Joseph is in bed, drifts off to sleep, suddenly God sends his messenger, his angel, to meet him at the very point of his need. Now, I think it is fair to say that, certainly in the traditional form, angels do not appear every day of the week. It was something that was highly unusual, something completely unexpected. And God came and broke into Joseph's circumstances in a very new and a very special way. We don't hear of Joseph ever having been visited by an angel before this. The angel did come and visit him later on and tell him to go to Egypt. But at this moment in time, Joseph had not a clue what a visit from an angel entailed. So God stepped in a very special way to catch Joseph's attention. And you know, God still does that with you and with me today. We cannot limit how God comes and how God speaks to each of us. Yes, so often God speaks to us through his word. And that certainly in our culture and in our experience is primarily the way that God does that. But it's not the only way that God speaks. We find Christians in the Middle East whom God still speaks to in a dream. It's part of their culture. It's part of their understanding. We can't limit how God speaks to us. Yes, we test what God has said to make sure that it is truly from him. And that's exactly what happened here with Joseph. As God broke into his circumstances and explained exactly what was going on, he directed Joseph personally. He spoke into Joseph's situation, spoke to exactly the concerns that Joseph had. And you know, he does that when God comes and speaks to you and speaks to me. He does exactly the same thing. He meets us exactly where we are. Because this divine intervention brought divine direction. Joseph needed a plan of what to do. Mary was a real person. He was a real person. This baby growing inside Mary, however the baby had got there, from Joseph's point of view, was reality. And they had to deal with their situation. But you notice that the first thing that the angel does is he addresses Joseph as who he is. Joseph, son of David. Perhaps Joseph's neighbours and friends did not know of Joseph's heritage, but God knew. God knew exactly who he was. And the same comes to you and to me. God knows exactly who you are and knows exactly who I am. And the next thing he says to Joseph through the angel is, do not be afraid. And that's one of the great messages of the Christmas season. Whether it comes through the angel to Joseph, or to the shepherds, to Mary, or to some of the other participants in the story, the first words that God speaks are, do not be afraid. Yes, I am coming to you in unusual circumstances, but just as we were thinking last week after the fall in Eden, this was not God's plan B. God knew, God understood, and God had this plan to deal with the sin that had come into the world. And here, Joseph and Mary were coming to play their part in that story. Do not be afraid. God set out exactly what his plan was here. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Well, that's a practical way of dealing with the problem. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know exactly what Joseph knew or understood of the Holy Spirit. But this is God telling him, look, I'm in charge here. You do not have to worry. You do not have to be afraid. And then goes on to say, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God does not take us into experiences or allow experiences to come into our lives without a reason and a purpose for that. God has his plan and his purpose for your life and for mine. And he will call us into that in his way and his time, knowing his direction upon us. Think of the Old Testament patriarch Job. Job was a man whose life was going along well. He had no great problems and no great issues. His businesses were going well. His family life was good. He had nothing to concern himself. And then, as we know the story, God allowed the devil to come and to wreak havoc on Job's life, because the devil is saying, you only worship God because of all the blessings that God has given you. But yet, in the midst of his despair, when everything had been taken from him, what did Job say? I know that my Redeemer lives. On the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew of this reality, that no matter what his circumstances were, his God would look after him. And here in the middle of his circumstances here, this is the dawning reality that comes upon Joseph, that he is part of God's divine plan. That as a result of Joseph playing his part, what had been foretold by the prophet Isaiah that we thought of right at the beginning of our service, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that, you know, is really the reason for this season. If Emmanuel had not come to be God with us, then we wouldn't have a Christmas. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. And without the reality of God with us, Emmanuel in your life and in mine, then we don't have hope for today, for tomorrow, and for the days that lie after that. As you all know, I'm a big football fan. And I've enjoyed the World Cup. I hope that you have as well, certainly the football side of it. I think we can all question whether Qatar was the right place to have a World Cup in, and whether this is the right time of year to have it. And there have been all sorts of things in the media around what goes on in Qatar and in the Arab world. And you'll have read that and you'll have seen that. Freedom of religious expression, freedom of worship, and the position of Christians in Qatar and the Arab world in general has not really made the headlines. But I thought it was interesting that the one footballer who had to go home because of a domestic problem when his house was broken into throughout the whole World Cup was Raheem Sterling, the England footballer. Raheem Sterling is a committed Christian. And that says to me that, you know, even in the midst of whatever our media is not reporting, God is at work. There are Christian people who have gone to Qatar, whether as footballers or part of the support staff or supporters, that God has been at work in Qatar and he will be building his kingdom there. You see, God does not run in blind coincidence. Things don't just happen randomly. We have a God who is in control of all circumstances. And he is at work in our world in ways that you nor I will not see and will not even begin to imagine. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know, as Corrie ten Boom put it, that we can trust our unseen future, our unknown future, to our known God, because he is ultimately in control both of time and of eternity. And where we are called to play our part in his divine purpose. But that's a choice that you and I have to make, whether we want to play that part or not. And right as we come to the end of our passage, Joseph's encounter with the angel, he wakes up, and you know what he did? He went and did exactly what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. Joseph had received a message. Joseph had received a command from God, and his first desire was to obey that command. And I hope that that is true for you and for me. He doesn't know what the way ahead will mean. He can't see what that is. He doesn't understand what is going to happen when this child that is not his is born into the world. He doesn't see what the direction of travel is going to be for his immediate family. But he doesn't think about that at this moment in time. God has told him to take Mary home as his wife, and that is exactly what he does. And you know, when God calls you and calls me to do something, we maybe don't understand the reason why. We have the choice of either trusting in our Heavenly Father, that he knows what is best, and that all things work together for good for those who trust him. or we can try to do things in our own way, to try to take matters into our own hands. And that's never a sensible thing to do. Joseph obeys what God has called him to do. And I trust that for you and for me, we will do the same thing. And so in time, this little baby boy was born just as God had predicted it would be. And Joseph, in line with the direction that God's angel had given him, gave him the name Jesus, which means he saves. And right in Jesus' name, is synonymous with not only with his nature as a saviour, but also his purpose for coming. That purpose from that first Christmas, to save you and to save me from our sin. And you know, we often face circumstances that we don't understand. There are many things that come our way in life that we would rather didn't. But the reality is this, that our God can help us through each one and can bring good out of them, no matter what they may be. Think of the Apostle Paul, a man who started off his life determined to destroy and to eliminate the church of the Lord Jesus. And yet Jesus himself came and met him on the road to Damascus, changed his life dramatically, saying he was going off in one direction and God called him to walk in a different one. And throughout the rest of his life, Paul was beaten up, was threatened, was arrested, was thrown in prison. But yet God took him and helped him and used him through all his experiences to bring the gospel message around the known world. And in so doing, the Apostle Paul touched the lives of thousands of people, touched them with the good news of the gospel that some could respond to. Now, you and I are not the Apostle Paul, and we're not called to live in those circumstances. Nor are you and I Joseph, and we don't expect to be visited by an angel. But in his way and in his time, God will come and will break into your life and in mine and will present us with the challenge. Do you trust me? Are you prepared to follow me? Even when you cannot see the way and you cannot understand what's coming next. And you know, for those of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus, some of the things he calls us to do are hard, difficult. We can't see the way. We don't understand. But yet, because we trust him as our God and as our Saviour, we walk forward with our hand in his hand into the unknown tomorrow, knowing that he will take care of us and will look after us. And perhaps at this Christmas season, that's not what you have done. That you've not had that life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus. When you, like Joseph, have been faced with the decision, you said, no, if it's all the same to you, I'll just carry on my own way, thank you. This trusting for tomorrow business, no, it's not for me. I urge you this morning at this Christmas season, Jesus is the reason for Christmas. He brings meaning and purpose to life. He's called each of us to live life in all its fullness by putting our trust in him. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. Is it not better to face that tomorrow, trusting and walking with the one who holds tomorrow in his hands, to hold you and to hold me there as well? You know, we live in a difficult and challenging world. It's always been a difficult and challenging world. Many years ago, a man called Eric Little, you'll be familiar with his story, faced the challenges of the great and the good of this world to compromise and give up his belief for a shot at earthly glory. Eric Little said no, he wasn't prepared to do that. And you know the story that Eric Little went on to run in the 400 metres at the Olympics in 1924, an event he wasn't really trained for and wasn't expected to win. And he won the gold medal. And that was great. And the story, if you've seen the film Chariots of Fire, largely ends there. But yet Eric Little's life went on. Eric Little went back to China and served there for more than 20 years as a missionary. Ended his life as in a prisoner of war camp, still living out his faith for the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's your calling and mine as we come and put our trust in the Lord Jesus, just as Joseph did, as Eric Little did, and as so many have done down through the generations. We put our trust in the one who will take care of us today, will take care of us tomorrow, and when our tomorrow's finished, will take us home to be with himself and take care of us for all eternity in his nearer presence forever. And I trust that that will be your experience and mine as we serve and love our Lord at this Christmas season. We're going to conclude our service this morning as we join to sing that well-known and well-loved Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Everyone is welcome to come through for tea, coffee, juice, biscuits in the link, and then everyone is welcome to come back this evening at 6:30 for our service of lessons and carols. If you are involved with singing this evening, if you could meet at the front, and Janet will put you through your final paces for this evening. If you're a reader for this evening and want to practice, if you speak to me when I've finished at the door, and we'll arrange that. But we'll conclude now as we say the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.